Welcome back to the Deep Dive. For today's episode, you've given us quite a bit to unpack, actually. The Model Context Protocol, MCP, we're diving deep, and we've got a pretty impressive stack of articles to pull from. INOQ, Microsoft Dev Blogs, Adios Mani on Substack, Phil Schmid Stackademic, and even GitHub itself. Oh, and one from the Logto blog, too. So really the mission here is, well, first of all, to try and understand exactly what MCP is and then why it seems to be generating so much buzz in the AI world. And then maybe most importantly, how it could potentially change how AI interacts with all of the tools and data, really, all the software that we use every day.
It really feels like we're at a turning point with AI. You know, we want to go way beyond simple definitions. We want to explore how this could actually change the way AI works practically in the tools we use.
Yeah, absolutely. So to kind of set the stage here, imagine you've got all these amazing electronic devices, right?
Mm-hmm.
But every single one needs a totally different power plug. What a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Total chaos.
Well, that's sort of what it's been like trying to connect AI to different apps and data sources. Like up until now, it's been a bit of a free-for-all. So the core idea behind MCP, and this is where it gets really interesting, is to create, well, imagine it as a kind of universal plug. Like think about USB-C, one connector, works with tons of devices. So the goal with MCP is to create that common language. So instead of building a custom integration every time you want your AI assistant to work with a new tool, MCP offers a standard. And that can make AI assistants so much more capable. You know, not just talking, but actually doing things within the software that we already use.
Yeah, it's funny when you think about it, the early LLMs, those large language models, they were amazing at predicting text, generating content. You know, they could answer questions based on their training data, but that was basically it.
Right.
They were sort of trapped in a way. They couldn't interact with the real world, no real-time data, no way to use external tools. They existed in this digital bubble.
I know. It's like having a brilliant conversationalist who can't, like, open a web browser or send an email.
Exactly.
And then 2023 happened and things started to change. We saw these tools and plugins popping up all over the place. OpenAI's function calling, LangChain, AutoGPT. And these were exciting. They gave LLMs a way to actually reach out and touch the real world. But, and this is something a lot of the articles point out, a lot of these early integrations were very specific, very ad hoc.
Yeah, it was a real Wild West situation. Every tool basically needed its own connection, its own wiring, so to speak.
Right.
We had JSON output, Python wrappers, specific prompt formats, and there was no real consistency, no way for an AI to just know what tools are available or how to use them in a reliable way.
Right. Right. And this is, well, this is where MCP steps in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we should mention it was actually launched by Anthropic in late 2024. So MCP is designed to solve this whole fragmentation problem. It's about creating a standard way for AI and software to interact. The goal is to move away from all these custom tool agents to a world where AI agents have this universal way of communicating with a whole range of different tools. Like, the real light bulb moment here is that the limitation wasn't just the AI itself. You know, it was the way it was connected, or rather disconnected, from all this data and functionality that's out there in all these different applications.
Yeah, it's like realizing that the problem isn't the brain, it's the connections.
Exactly. It's like that appliance with different plugs analogy that Adios Mani uses. Without MCP, getting your AI to work with all these tools, well, it's like having a whole box of different power adapters and you can never find the right one.
Oh, yeah, I know that feeling.
To do something on GitHub, you need one approach. To get data from a database, you need a completely different one. And for design software, you need another one. And it's just a mess.
Right. And Anthropic actually said something really interesting about this. They basically pointed out that even the most advanced AI models are limited if they're isolated from all this data. All these different apps and databases create these information silos, and it's just incredibly difficult to create truly connected systems at scale.
Yeah, it's like trying to build a city without any roads.
Exactly.
But MCP, it offers this single common protocol. So instead of a developer having to write specific code for each tool they want to connect to AI, they can just implement the MCP specification, and that's it. Their app suddenly becomes accessible to any AI that speaks MCP. It just simplifies things dramatically.
And then there's the whole issue of what they call the tool-to-tool language mismatch. Every piece of software, GitHub, a database, Photoshop, they all have their own way of doing things, their own API, data formats, terminology. So before MCP, an AI trying to use these tools had to understand all these individual quirks.
Right. Like, it's like trying to have a conversation with a group of people who all speak different languages.
Exactly.
You need a translator for each one. but MCP provides this structured, self-describing interface.
Mm-hmm.
So tools can basically announce what they can do in a standardized way, and then the AI can ask them to do those things using natural language commands. Mm-hmm. It's about getting all the tools to speak the same language.
And the benefits of that are huge. Robustness, scalability. Mm-hmm. You move away from this complex web of multiple tools needing individual connections to multiple AI models to this single protocol that acts as a go-between. You know, Adi Osmani puts it really well. He says MCP replaces fragmented integrations with a single protocol. And this really allows AI to maintain context as it moves between tools, which is a huge deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we've talked about the why behind MCP. Now let's get into the how. Like, how does this thing actually work? What's going on under the hood? What's the architecture?
Okay, so at the core of MCP is a client-server architecture, but it's designed specifically for AI and software to talk to each other. And there are four main pieces to understand. We've got MCP servers, MCP clients, the MCP protocol itself, and then the actual services, the applications, the databases.
Okay, so let's start with MCP servers. What exactly are these things doing?
Think of an MCP server as a translator. It lives inside a specific application, and it knows how to take a natural language request from an AI and turn it into the specific actions that that app can perform.
Okay, so like if I had a Blender MCP server, it would know how to translate something like create a blue sphere into the actual Python commands that Blender needs to make that happen.
Exactly. And in the same way, a GitHub MCP server could translate show me all the pull requests assigned to me into the right GitHub API calls. And we're actually starting to see real-world examples of these MCP servers. There are servers for Blender, for GitHub, even for music software like Ableton Live.
Wow, that's cool. And okay, so what about the MCP clients? Where do they fit in?
On the AI side of things, the AI assistant itself, or the platform that's hosting it, includes this MCP client component. And this client, its job is to establish a connection with an MCP server. So if the AI wants to use a specific tool, the client is what connects to that tool's MCP server. It handles the communication, the sending and receiving of messages, and it presents the server's responses back to the AI in a way it can understand.
So if I'm using, say, an AI-powered code editor like Cursor, it would act as the MCP host, and then it could spin up individual MCP clients to talk to different servers, like a Figma server for design or Ableton for music, depending on what the AI needs to do.
Exactly. And the key is that the client and the server are speaking the same language. They're both following the rules of this MCP protocol. They send messages back and forth in a consistent way.
Got it. So that leads us to the MCP protocol itself. What is this language that they're using?
So the MCP protocol, it defines the specific language and rules for all communication between clients and servers. This includes things like the structure of the messages they exchange, how the server announces what it can do, how the AI asks questions or gives commands, and how the results of those commands are sent back. And importantly, the protocol is transport agnostic. This means it can work over different communication methods. It can use HTTP, WebSockets, even standard input and output streams. The messages themselves are usually formatted using JSON or other structured data schemas. So whether the AI is interacting with a design tool or a database, the basic way they connect and talk to each other remains consistent.
Got it. So it's like it doesn't matter if you're speaking English or Spanish. As long as you're both using the same grammar, you can understand each other.
Precisely.
Okay, so and then we've got the services, the actual applications, the databases, whatever the MCP servers are interacting with. These are like the end targets that the AI wants to use, right?
Right. And these services, they can be local, like your files or a program running on your computer, or they can be remote, something online, like a web application. The MCP server acts as a kind of secure gateway to these services for the AI.
So for example, a local service could be a folder full of documents, mm-hmm. and then the MCP server could give the AI access to those files.
Yeah, and a remote service could be a weather API, and then the MCP server would handle the communication with that API and any authentication that's needed. Mm. MCP is designed to work with both, so the AI can seamlessly use things from its local environment and from the internet.
Got it. Okay, so to make sure I'm following, if I'm in Cursor, that AI code editor, and I ask my AI assistant to get sales figures from a database and then make a chart from that data, what's actually happening?
Okay, so Cursor, the editor, acts as the host. It would use an MCP client to connect to the database's MCP server. That server would run the database query and send the data back. Then the AI might use another MCP client to connect to a charting tool's MCP server, give it the data, and say, make a chart from this. And all this communication is using the MCP protocol. So the AI doesn't need to understand the specific query language for the database or the API for the charting tool. It just says what it wants in natural language.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so we've covered the architecture. Now, what can these MCP servers actually do? Like, what are their superpowers?
So MCP servers expose their abilities through a few core components: tools, resources, and prompts. Tools are functions the AI can call to get things done.
So like a function to get the current weather from an API or to create a new GitHub issue.
Exactly. And this is important. The LLM, the AI, decides when to use a tool. But good MCP practice says that the application that's running the MCP server should at least tell the user and ideally get their permission before a tool is actually used.
Makes sense. Safety first.
Yeah. So there's a tools list request that the client can use to find out what tools are available and then tools call to actually use one. For example, the GitHub MCP server might offer tools like creator update file, search repositories, and create issue.
So the AI can find out what it can do and then do it. What about resources?
So resources are read-only data. They're controlled by the application, and the AI can access them to get context information. It's like a JIT request. The AI can retrieve information without changing anything.
So if an AI is working on a design in Figma, it could use resources to get, say, the color palette or the font style.
Exactly. The client can use resources list to see what's available and resources read to get the content of a specific resource. And clients can even subscribe to changes. If they use resources subscribe, they'll get a notifications resource updated message when a resource changes.
Wow. So it can stay updated in real time.
Exactly.
That's cool. And then what about prompts? What are they all about?
Prompts are basically predefined templates. They're controlled by the user, and they're designed to make the AI use the tools or resources in the best way possible. You know, to make sure the AI is asking the right questions, formatting its requests correctly.
Right, so it's like giving the AI a little cheat sheet to make sure it gets the best results.
Precisely. And there are specific requests for those too. Prompts list to see what's available, and prompts get to get a specific prompt.
Got it. And you know, one of the articles mentioned the whole life cycle of an MCP session. Like, what happens from start to finish?
Yeah, good point. So a typical session goes through three phases: initialization, operation, and shutdown. During initialization, the client and server connect. The client sends an initialize request, and the server responds. If the protocol versions match, the client sends a notifications initialize notification.
Okay, so it's like a handshake. They're making sure they can talk to each other.
Exactly. Then comes the operation phase. This is where the work gets done. The client and server are sending messages back and forth, you know, tools call, resources read, prompts get, and so on. And finally, there's shutdown when either the client or server ends the session.
Okay, makes sense. And there were two main ways for the client and server to communicate that we talked about: Stidio and HTTP with SSE. What's the difference there?
Okay. So with Stidio, which stands for Standard Input Output, the client basically starts the server as a separate process, and they communicate through standard input and output streams. This is common for local integrations when the AI and the tool are both on the same machine. HTTP with SSE, that's HTTP with Server Send Events, is typically used for more remote or standalone servers. The client connects to the server and gets a special web address or URI and uses HTTP POST requests to send commands. The server sends responses back through SSE, and it can also push updates to the client in real time.
Okay, so different ways of talking depending on where the client and server are located. We've talked a lot about servers. Can clients offer any special features to servers?
Yeah, actually, there are a couple things clients can do. There's routes and sampling. With routes, the client can share a specific path in its file system with the server.
Okay.
The server can then access resources in that folder, but not anywhere else. So for example, an IDE, an integrated development environment, could share a project folder with a language server, and then the server could analyze the project files.
Ah, so it's a controlled way of giving access.
Right.
The server doesn't get to see everything. What about sampling?
Sampling is really interesting. It lets the server basically ask the client to use an LLM on its behalf. This is great because it means the server doesn't have to be tied to a specific AI provider.
So instead of the server needing its own API key for a specific model, it can just use the client's model.
Exactly. And the client can influence which model is used by setting priorities, like cost priority, intelligence priority, and speed priority. And just like with tools, it's good practice to get the user's permission before doing this.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've got a good grasp of the architecture, the core components. Now, let's talk about real-world use cases. What's actually happening with MCP out there?
This is where things get really exciting. We're starting to see some incredible examples. There's the creative stuff, AI interacting with Ableton Live to create music, AI generating 3D assets in Blender.
Yeah, that's wild.
See?
Tell me about the Ableton stuff.
So people are actually using Claude, the AI, to control Ableton Live. Imagine, you can literally tell it something like, create a driving techno beat with a soaring synth melody, and it can actually do it. Create tracks, add instruments, apply effects. It's like having an AI music producer working with you.
That is so cool. And the Blender integration too, right? You can literally tell it to add a light to a scene or change the material of an object, and it just happens.
Exactly. People are using it to generate really complex 3D scenes just by describing what they want. It could be a game changer for 3D artists and designers.
Totally. And there's the design world too, with AI working inside Figma.
Yeah. Platforms like Cursor and Windsurf are using MCP to let AI interact with Figma designs. So you could be working on a website and you could ask your AI to get the hex code for the primary blue color in this design or to adjust the padding of a button. The AI can actually access and change the design elements. It's like taking the design specs and turning them into code automatically.
That could really streamline the whole design to development process. What about game development?
Well, Unity is a huge platform for game development, and with the Unity MCP server, you can have AI driving the Unity editor. You can use natural language to create objects, configure components, even run commands. People are using it to test complex gameplay scenarios just by telling the AI to perform specific actions in the game.
That's amazing. So AI could become a powerful tool for game developers.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just desktop applications either. There are examples of AI working with browser-based tools as
Oh,
well.
really? Like what?
There's a server called Firecrawl that lets AI do web crawling and data scraping. You could tell your AI to go to a website, find all the headings, and list them, and it could actually do it.
That's incredibly useful. And I remember reading about the Zapier integration. That seems like it could be huge.
Yeah, that one's a game changer. Zapier connects to thousands of different applications. With the Zapier MCP server, an AI can tap into all of those apps and their pre-built automation actions. So your AI can now send emails through Gmail, update spreadsheets, manage your calendar. Pretty much anything you can do with Zapier, the AI can do too.
Wow, that's like giving your AI a universal remote control for the internet.
Exactly.
And let's not forget about GitHub, since we're talking about software development. How's MCP impacting things there?
So with a GitHub MCNA server, AI can interact with your code repositories in a very natural way. You could ask questions like, what were the main changes in the last release? And the AI could actually analyze the code history and give you a summary. It's like having an AI assistant for GitHub.
That's really powerful. Okay, so let's say someone is listening to this and thinking, hey, I want to build my own MCP server. What's involved in that?
Okay. So the first thing is understanding the API of the application you want to integrate with. You need to know how to talk to it programmatically. Then you can use the MCP Software Development Kit or SDK. They have SDKs for a bunch of different programming languages: TypeScript, Python, Java, Kotlin, C Sharp. These SDKs handle the low-level protocol stuff, so you don't have to build everything from scratch.
So it gives you the building blocks.
Right.
What do you have to define yourself when you're creating the server?
The main thing is the server's capabilities. Specifically, the tools that it will offer. What are they called? What do they do? What parameters do they take? What kind of data do they return? This is how the AI will know how to use the tools. And for resources, you define how to list them and how to get their content. And for prompts, you define the templates themselves.
So it's like translating your application's functionality into a language the AI can understand. What about communication between the server and the client?
You need to choose how they'll communicate. Steedio for local communication, or HTTP with SSE for remote access. The SDKs make this pretty straightforward.
And once you've built it, how do you test it?
You can use a tool like the MCP Inspector to simulate a client and send test requests. You can also test it with real AI clients like Claude Desktop to make sure everything works as expected.
And what about security? Especially if the server is going to be accessible over a network.
Yeah, that's critical. Right now, the MCP protocol itself doesn't have a specific authentication scheme, so it's up to the developer to implement things like API keys or token-based authentication, especially if multiple users will be accessing the server or if there's sensitive data involved.
It sounds like building an MCP server is kind of like building a mini API for AI to use.
That's a good way to put it.
And, we should mention that there are already SDKs for a bunch of different languages, so it's not just for like hardcore Python developers. Anyone can get involved.
Yeah.
And I think I even read somewhere that Anthropic is suggesting that their Claude model can actually help with building MCP servers. So that's pretty meta. AI helping to build the tools that other AI will use.
Yeah, that is pretty wild.
Okay, so MCP sounds amazing.
Yeah.
But like anything new, I'm sure there are challenges. What are some of the hurdles that still need to be overcome?
Right. So one of the biggest ones is adoption. Not all AI platforms support MCP yet. So if you're using an AI that doesn't have MCP support, you can't use all these cool integrations. And even though there are more and more MCP servers being created, there's still tons of applications out there that don't have one.
Right. So it's like the AI might know what it wants to do, but it doesn't have the tool to do it.
Yeah. It's still early days. And then there's the whole issue of AI reliability. Just because an AI has access to a tool through MCP doesn't mean it will always use it correctly. AI can still make mistakes, get confused. So agent autonomy, reasoning, those are still areas that need work.
And security too, right? If AI can actually do things in our software, there's a potential for it to do things we don't want it to do.
Absolutely. Right now, there's no standard authentication built into the MCP protocol itself. So it's up to the server developer to implement security measures. There's a real risk of unintended consequences if security isn't taken seriously.
Yeah, that's a big one. What about performance? Does using MCP slow things down?
It can. Each MCP call takes time, so if the AI needs to make multiple calls, it can add up. And external tools can be slow, too. So optimizing how the AI uses tools and making sure the servers are efficient is really important.
And what about the AI models themselves? Do they even understand how to use MCP?
That's another challenge. A lot of current AI models were trained before MCP was really a thing, so they might not understand it or specific MCP servers unless we specifically teach them.
Got it. So while MCP has huge potential, there are still some wrinkles to iron out. What's next for MCP? What are the exciting things on the horizon?
So one thing that's really needed is better security. We need a standardized way to handle authentication and authorization in the MCP protocol itself. Maybe something like OAuth, where clients can securely connect to servers. And we need a way to control exactly what actions an AI is allowed to perform.
That makes sense.
And then there's this idea of an MCP gateway, a kind of central hub that can manage requests to multiple MCP servers. This would make it easier to scale MCP and handle things like multiple users accessing the same server.
That's a great idea.
We can also expect to see AI models that are specifically trained to work with MCP. They'll have a deeper understanding of how to use the protocol and the available tools.
So the AI will be able to use the tools more effectively. That's cool. And what about applications? Will we see more apps with built-in MCP support?
That's the hope. If more apps come with their own MCP servers, it will make things so much easier. We wouldn't need to rely on third-party servers as much. It would just be plug and play.
That would be amazing. Okay, so big picture. Why is MCP so important? Why should people care about it?
MCP is important because it's creating a standard way for AI to interact with the software we use every day. It's making it much easier to integrate AI into our workflows. It's like the difference between having to build a custom connector for every device you plug into your computer and having one universal port that works with everything.
Right. It just makes things so much simpler and more powerful.
Exactly. And for developers, using MCP is a smart move. It makes their apps AI ready. And ultimately, it's moving us towards a future where we can combine the power of AI with all the amazing software that's out there. Adi Asmani called this composable intelligence, and I think it's a really good way to describe it.
Yeah. Okay, so to wrap things up, I think we've got one final provocative thought for our listeners. Okay, hit me.
What if AI becomes a first-class user of software? What if, instead of clicking buttons and typing commands, we just tell AI what we want to do, and it figures out how to do it using all the tools at its disposal? What would that world look like?
That's a big question.
I know. But I think it's worth thinking about. What possibilities could that unlock? So for all of you listening, I encourage you to check out the resources we've linked in the show notes, learn more about MCP, and maybe even start experimenting with it yourselves. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time.